Well, good evening, everyone. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We certainly enjoyed the good singing, wonderful songs. I'm glad Jesus lives, brother. Amen. And sometimes burdens of life overtake us, and we just don't know what to do, but we can go to the Lord. He promised to be a very present help in time of trouble. And I'm so glad and thankful that I know the Lord. Good to see everyone tonight. Good to see these preacher brothers and all these visitors that have come to be with us tonight. A lot of our brethren, we get together at Old Union every spring, and we have a good time studying the Word and fellowship, and then we don't see each other hardly for another year, you know. But it's good to be together and to worship the Lord and to fellowship one with another. I really enjoyed the sermon last night. Brother Spurgeon brought a wonderful message. The Lord helped him, and we all received a blessing from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit, and it was just good to be here. Several testimonies, and enjoyed some of them I had heard before, but it's always good to hear them again. I believe testimonies are really important. If you have something on your heart tonight you need to say, but we want you to have the liberty to do that. Anyone with anything before we read? All right, if not, I got cut the grass this morning at home, and as I was riding the lawnmower and meditating and praying, this subject came to my heart, and I feel like it is the will of the Lord that I use this tonight. And I want to read a passage of Scripture that's found in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Very familiar. I want to begin at verse 25. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Seems like I might have missed a verse there. Let me back up. I want to go back to verse 28. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto them the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. I'm sorry for the mistakes that I may have made, but that's my lesson for tonight, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it will be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title for tonight just one word, and that word is salvation. Salvation. I want to go to the book of Luke just for a moment and read a passage of Scripture there, one verse. In Luke 1 and 4, I believe it is. Luke had said that many had set forth in hand, or taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which were most surely believed among us. And then Luke said that it seemed good to him also, having perfect knowledge, and that had been handed down to him by eyewitnesses of the work that the Lord Jesus had done. And so he said then that he, it seemed good to him, having been, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto them, or unto him, most excellent Theophilus. And here's why he wanted to write to him: that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed. I'm not going to try to preach tonight on all of the things that we as Missionary Baptist people believe. That would be impossible to do in one service. But I do want to focus on the subject of salvation, because salvation is the most important thing in the world. Jesus, you know, we live in a day and age when you don't hear people talk too much about being saved. You hear them talk about making a decision, or accepting Christ, or something of that nature, or, you know, our relationship to God. Well, everybody has some kind of a relationship to God. But those of us who have been saved by God's grace, we have a very special relationship. We are children of God, and God is our Father. And that can only take place through what we call salvation. Jesus referred to salvation. And you know, he said he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so that's why I want to talk about salvation and emphasize the importance of salvation and what salvation really is. There's more to salvation than just deciding that you're going to be a Christian, or that you're going to take Jesus as your Savior. I don't want you to misunderstand me now. I do believe that you have to accept the fact that Jesus is the Savior. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Savior, you'll never trust Him for salvation. And you know, the Bible said that Jesus came unto His own, that is, to the Jewish people. And His own received Him not. That is, they rejected Him. They rejected Him as being the Messiah, the Savior. But the Scripture said, but to as many as did receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to them that believe on His name, who were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, the will of God. So tonight, Jesus taught that people need to be saved. And He came into the world to save. I remember reading when Gabriel was having that conversation with Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph. The espoused husband to Mary. When Joseph found out Mary was expecting a child, he was quite upset. He thought about putting her away privately. But the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And he said, don't you be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Said, that thing which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he said, will be born. And he said, I want you to call him Emmanuel, or call him Jesus, I believe, was in this particular passage in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. That's the point I want to make. He shall save his people from their sin. And there is a radical difference, my friend, between those who are saved and those who are not saved.
Amen.
You know, we're all sinners by nature. And if we never get saved, we'll die as sinners and we'll miss heaven. You know, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what he told Zacchaeus, I believe, in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he hadn't been exactly honest, you know, in his dealings with the public. He heard Jesus was coming by. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up in a sycamore tree because he was of small stature. He was a little man. And when Jesus came to the tree, he stopped and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, that didn't mean that he was saved the minute he came down from the tree. It means he was glad that Jesus was going to go home with him. And when he got to his house, he began to confess his sins. And he told Jesus, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore unto him fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to your house. And I really believe tonight that people can be saved. I know they can be saved. I have an salvation experience. Back on October the 10th, 1946, I was saved by God's grace. I was born again. I was delivered from that burden of sin and that guilt and that condemnation that came into my heart the day that I became lost. I had been taken to church all of my life, never had any condemnation at all. It didn't matter what people preached on or what preachers preached on. It didn't bother me because I had no condemnation. But one day the preacher was preaching, and the Lord revealed to me that I was lost. I was separated from Him. I was a sinner. And if I died in that condition, that I would not go to heaven. And I tell you, that brought trouble to my heart. People talk about getting in trouble, and I believe this. I don't believe you'll ever get saved if you don't find trouble. And the trouble, you know, is with the Lord. We are sinners in the sight of God. We are lost and we are separated the very moment we become lost. And in order for us to be restored and have fellowship with God, there are some things that absolutely must take place. And so I want to talk to you just for a little bit about salvation, if I can do so. You know, salvation, I want to try to explain a little bit what salvation is. You know, when you get saved, there is a cleansing that takes place. You know, the Bible talks about, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 1 and maybe verse 18. He said, come now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. and though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. And you know, when we are saved by God's grace, there is a washing that takes place. There is a cleansing. You know, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. There is a washing that takes place. Our souls that were black with sin, they are washed and cleansed made right in the sight of God. And so, book of Titus, chapter 3, I don't remember if it's verse 3 or maybe verse 5. Anyway, Paul wrote to Titus, and he said, now, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done that He saves us. A lot of people today are depending on their works to get to heaven. And the Bible says this, that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, there'll be nobody running around all over heaven saying, I'm here because of what I did. You know, everybody that makes it to heaven will be there because of what Jesus did, not because of what we have done. And so Paul tells Titus, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to His mercy that He saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so there is a cleansing that takes place. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, I could preach tonight on the blood, but there are some other things that I want to say. But salvation, when you get saved, He cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. He forgives us. He takes away the guilt and the condemnation. And He gives us peace with God. You know, He gives us peace with God. And so that's a part of salvation, is the cleansing. The cleansing that takes place when our sins are removed. That's the blood of Christ is the best stain remover that you've ever heard of. It cleanses us from every stain. You know, and there is one old songwriter a long time ago said, nothing between my soul and the Savior. And I'm glad today I can stand up here and tell you that when the Lord removes your sins, they're gone forever.
Amen.
You know, the Bible said He'll never remember them against us anymore. And so there is a cleansing us. There is a cleansing from sin. You can get rid of your sins by being saved. You can get rid of it. And you say, well, we still live in the flesh and we probably will still do something wrong. That's right. But you know, Jesus, He tasted death for every man, and He paid the sin debt for every man's sin. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. I want to go on just a little bit further. To enter heaven, you must be saved.
Amen.
You must be. There's no exception to that rule, and that's God's rule. And you know, when we get saved, we not only get cleansed, but we get covered. You know what we get covered with? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. See? We call that justification. You know, the Bible gives us a number of illustrations in God's Word about being justified. And the Bible tells us, you know, that Jesus In the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, I believe it is, he talks about us being as sheep going astray, but returning to the Lord. Maybe I ought to turn over there. I can't seem to get that together just like I should. But I want to clear this up before I go any further. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse, I have to look for it. He said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." He says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from judgment and from prison, or from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation?" I missed the verse that I wanted to read. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." And so Jesus took our place. He died in our stead. And when an individual is able to repent and trust in Jesus, our sins are transferred from us to Jesus. Jesus died for us. And then, my friend, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus, His righteousness is transferred to us. That's the way it works. Salvation, when we get saved, we become righteous in the sight of God. He doesn't look at us as sinners anymore. We're saints because our sins have been removed. We have been washed and cleansed from our sins. And He has clothed us with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. When we stand before God, we'll not stand there in our own righteousness. We'll stand there in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I wanted to just mention what Paul said in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. And I don't want to preach too long. I preached longer Sunday night than I should have, I guess. But anyway, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he'd have whereof to glory, but not before God." Now, we do brag on ourselves sometimes, and we want everybody to know how good we've been and what all the good that we've done. We're not going to be able to stand before God and brag. We just won't be able to do it. For he said, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." You see, his faith was counted for righteousness. And he became righteous in the sight of God. And every sinner, when you're cleansed from your sins, he don't just cleanse you. He covers you with his righteousness. And it goes on and it says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned out of grace, but of debt." But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And that's where we get our righteousness. It is because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at the time that He saves us from our sin. And so tonight, I want you to notice something else. When you get saved, God adopts you into His family. You see, salvation, there are so many different facets to salvation. And so many things that are wonderful about salvation. You would think that everybody would want to be saved, wouldn't you? I hope tonight, if there's anybody here that's lost, that you'll want to be saved before this service comes to a close. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus this. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And, you know, the Pharisees, they were self-righteous. And Jesus said they made white the outside of the, or made clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but inwardly they were still filthy, you see. They were depending on their righteousness. But Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you have to have more than self-righteousness. You have to have more than your own righteous works. You have to have the righteousness of Jesus. And that is given to a sinner when they repent and trust in Jesus for life and for salvation. Here was Nicodemus. He came to Jesus one night. And Jesus immediately said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand that. He understood that he had been born once. His mother gave birth to him, and he had physical life in the flesh. But that's not sufficient. You know, being born is not sufficient to take you to heaven. You have to be born again. And so Nicodemus, he said, well, how can an old man be born? How can a man be born when he's old? And I've seen older people get saved. You know, it's wonderful when young people get saved and then follow the Lord in baptism and work in the church and live for the Lord. That's wonderful. But it's also wonderful if an old man who has wasted his entire life in sin gets saved.
Amen.
And Jesus is no respecter of persons. And so that's the good part about that. But anyway, I was talking about this. I'm going to talk about adoption. And Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And he sure didn't understand that, did he? People today don't understand being born again, being born of the Spirit. But you know, Jesus said, Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now there's a part of every person that is flesh. And we're flesh because we were born of the flesh. But there's a part of every one of us that's spirit also. You know, man is a twofold being. And it's really easy to prove that by the Bible, although there are a lot of people who deny it, you know. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that the body without the spirit is dead.
Amen.
Now, don't that prove a twofold being? Well, it sure does. There are many other scriptures also that prove it, and I won't take the time to do that tonight. But listen, you've been born to the flesh. You must be born to the Spirit if you're going to go to heaven. And Jesus made that clear. Now, when you're born again, you're born from above. Yeah. When you're born the first time, it's from beneath. You are the earth and earthy. You must be born from above, born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And that takes place when you get saved. You're born again, and a new life begins. I believe that life begins at conception. I want you to know that. But I know also that a child is not breathing on his own until he is born. His life is coming from his mother. He's alive because of his mother. See? But when he is born, his own life, independent life, begins. And so it is. When you're born again, a new life begins. A life in Christ Jesus. It is a spiritual life, and it is eternal life. Jesus made that very clear too. He don't give anybody temporary eternal life. You can't get temporary eternal life. Only thing He gives is eternal life. And that takes place when you're born again. But furthermore, after you've been born into God's family, He takes you in as though you had always been His child. And He treats you just like you'd always been His child. He even makes you an heir. You know, an heir. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ if we've been born again. And God takes us into His family. And from the moment you're saved, you belong to the family of God. You're God's child. And He loves you. And He will provide for you. And He'll take care of you. And when you die, He'll take you to heaven. And you can live with Him forever and forever. When you're born from above, that means you become a citizen up there. You know, if you're born in America, you're a citizen of the United States. If you're born in some foreign country, you know why you're a citizen of that country. But according to the Bible, you know, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, who will change our vile bodies, that it may be made like unto His, you know. And so, there's so many wonderful things about being a child of God. It's no wonder we sing Amazing Grace, isn't it? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Salvation is a wonderful thing. And you have the promise. If you've been saved, you have the promise of God and of His Son Jesus, that you will never perish. Never perish. Never perish. And there's something else before I close, I want to get this in. When you get saved, you will know it. You know it. When you become lost, you'll know it. Nobody told me I was lost except God. He let me know. Revealed it to me. I was lost. And I knew that I wasn't going to go to heaven. And I knew that if I wanted to go to heaven, I'd have to seek the Lord and get saved. And that's what I done. And I sought Him, and He found me. He found me and saved me and gave me eternal life. And you know, it was a gift. I didn't earn it. Didn't earn it. It was a gift from God. I didn't pay for it. I'm not preaching in order to try to get to heaven. It's a gift from God. Paul said in Romans 6:23, wasn't it? I believe it is. He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is. Salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. And when you get saved, you know it. How do you know it? God sends forth His Spirit into your heart. It's personal. It's personal. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? According to Galatians chapter 4 and verse maybe 6, Brother Spurgeon quoted it last night. It said that He sends forth His Spirit into our hearts whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means my Father. My Father. I know tonight that God is my Father and that I am His child. And I don't mean to be sounding boastful. I hope I'm not. I don't have anything to boast about. I just want you to know you can know that you're saved.
Amen.
You can know you're saved. And you don't have to go through this world, you know, well, I hope I'll make it. You know, I tell you, when you're saved, God gives you hope. It's a hope. It's not wishful thinking. But it's a hope that is both sure and steadfast. And it enters in within the veil where Jesus is. If you're saved, you're connected to Jesus. Maybe the primitive, they maybe sing about the little boy with the kite. Somebody does, you know. And his kite went so high, he couldn't see it. Somebody come along and said, "What are you doing? Flying my kite?" Well, he looked, "I don't see a kite. How do you know there's a kite up there?" He said, "I can feel the tug." And that's the way it is, isn't it? If you're a child of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you, I tell you, you have a hope that you can feel. I believe in heartfelt salvation. You can know that you're saved and that you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe one or two more verses and then I'll close. In Romans chapter 8, I want to read this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You get rid of that condemnation. Get rid of that guilt. And there's nothing like being free from sin. Peace with God. And he said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, the Bible, the law of sin and death is, you know, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But when you get saved, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from that law of sin and death. That law of sin and death has no more dominion over your soul. And I'm glad that it's that way. But he went on to say, for what the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That means those who have never been born again. Those that have been born to the flesh, but haven't been born to the Spirit. Now listen. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Well, I don't know. I've done what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do tonight. I think that the plan of salvation, I think that is so very important. And I think the biggest part of the religious world today don't know anything about the true plan of salvation. I'm sorry to have to say that. I'm sorry. I don't want to. I wish I didn't have to say that. But I'm telling you, salvation is real. And salvation is something you can feel. And it's something you can know about. And you can know that you're on your way to heaven. I want us to have a song. And there's somebody here tonight that's lost. You feel that condemnation. If you're lost, you feel that condemnation. And you feel that guilt. And you know that something's not right between you and God. You know, that's what God's way of letting you know. And he does that, lets you know, because he wants you to be saved. And he wants you to be his child. If you feel that guilt and condemnation tonight and you want to get saved, I want to invite you to come to pray. This altar is always open. I've heard that two or three times already this week. And I know that it is. And I know that God is still on His throne. And I know that Jesus is still interceding for sinners. And I know that you can get saved if you'll just come to Jesus. I know that He'll forgive you of your sins. And He'll give you peace with God. And He'll put that knowledge in your heart.
Amen.
This is my last verse, brother. I'm sorry. But I got to say this. John chapter 5 and verse 10, I think it is. This is what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. Personally. Nobody can tell you you've prayed long enough.
That's right.
Nobody can tell you you're all right. Nobody can instruct you into salvation. You must be born again.
Amen.
You must be. Jesus said that. You must be. And so tonight, I want you to, if you're here and lost, I want you to get saved. And I want you to have that knowledge for yourself while we're standing, while we're singing.
Message.
Amen.
I really appreciate it. For anybody that's lost, they got well instructed on what salvation was all about. What I got from it is that was soul food. That filled my soul. And know that you're saved and to hear all these benefits. You know, the psalmist said, what can I render to the Lord? All of his benefits for me. That's it. All the benefits that come with salvation are just so many that we just, it makes me get these glories on. So I think and know that we're saved by God's glorious grace. That was a wonderful message. And I know one person that didn't like it, or one being, and that's the same. Everyone else has the love of the truth. And that was a wonderful truth tonight. Anyone have anything on your heart before we come around and shake hands with each other? Anything that you like that you feel the Lord wants you to do or say?
I really enjoyed that time you brought to mind. To a church down in the country, and it was not an old church. They had an altar. My friend went up when the altar invitation was given to come up. She went up, and her sister went up. Her sister was sitting on the other end of the bench. I went up with them to pray, and the pastor came around after she had prayed a while and said, "I think she's been praying enough." And I said, she'll be the very first one to know she's prayed enough. And he got up and after that and said the same thing to the audience. After he already told her, for us to stop. So they're out there.
God bless you, sister.
I like it.
I'm pretty sure it's on Facebook, so if you can get to it, they can hear it. Oh, it's not. Oh, I'm
sorry.
Somebody. I'm just kidding.